Abraham is the Bible's greatest example of a man of faith. Welcome to our study of the book of Hebrews. We have come to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles. Chapter 11, of course, is about faith. And the writer to the Hebrews is listing the great men of faith throughout biblical history. He began with Abel, then proceeded to Enoch and Noah, and now he has come to Abraham. Verse 8 reads, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was to go. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." It tells us that he sojourned. That's a Middle English word that is not used too much today, but it means to live somewhere temporarily. The text says he lived in tents, but he also lived in Canaan as in a foreign land. His attitude was that Canaan is all right, but he preferred something better. And verse 10 explains where his heart was. He was looking for a city that was built by God. Now, a tent doesn't have any kind of a foundation. So the writer tells us he was looking for a city that did have a foundation. In other words, something permanent and something substantial. Abraham did not get overly excited about real estate, about the mountains or the riverbank. This was the land promised to him, but he owned only the field and a cave he bought from Ephron the Hittite. That's recorded in Genesis chapter 23. He bought that cave after Sarah died, and it became the burial place. Year after year, Abraham moved his tent, owning nothing. He was content with God's promise. Now that is just amazing. We might have expected him to take land from other people by saying, "God gave me this land and I'm going to take it away from you." But instead he exercised patience. Now if God promised him the land, Abraham was smart enough to know that God would give him the land, and he didn't have to go out and fight for it. In this, he was a model for the Christian. Believe God, who has promised life in heaven with all its riches and glory, but in this life, you may have almost nothing. We too are told to set our affection on things above. That's where Abraham's mind was. And why should the Christian's mind be above? Well, we get this from Colossians chapter 3. That's where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. If you become a Christian to get in on some goodies from God down here, then you have missed the Christian message. The treasure is life in the presence of God eternally, not down here. God has not promised us a rose garden. He has not promised us good health, security, and protection from enemies. Quite the contrary. Jesus told his disciples that they should expect persecution if they were going to be like him, because he was persecuted. And he said, "If they hated me, they will hate you also. The servant is not greater than the master." Well, someone might ask, doesn't the Christian get anything down here? Are there no blessings? Oh, there are abundant blessings. Every day I thank God for peace with God, for the forgiveness of sins, and for the promises of the next life. Abraham's hope was in a city with foundations, not tent stakes. And the book of Revelation, interestingly, chapter 21, tells us about that city. Listen to verses 1 through 4 of Revelation 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And that passage implies that we as Christians will endure tears. There will be mourning, crying, and pain, but it's worth the wait because God will come and dwell with us, and all that will be taken away. Now, this heavenly city is also our goal. According to Hebrews chapter 12, we have the promise of a city. Listen to what he writes in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to a judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. In verse 18, there is a contrast made. Now I'm speaking of Hebrews 12:18. He wants these Hebrew Christians to know that there is not fear in the Christian life like there was under Judaism, that they have come to a gracious God, not to the judge who holds them accountable according to the law. Listen to how he puts it. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers entreat that no further message be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. And the writer tells them, you haven't come to that kind of a situation, to that mount where there is fear and judgment and a terrifying experience. He said, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And in chapter 13, the writer continues in verse 13, he said, Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. Now let me put this into perspective. Abraham believed God. He was a man of faith, and faith means believing what God has said. He believed God when God called him out of Haran down into the promised land, and he didn't know anything about that land and wasn't sure where he was going, but God guided him there and he trusted God and went. But Abraham also trusted God for a future city, a heavenly city, a city built by God. Now faith means the believer gives priority to his heavenly home, not material things, not even a church building, down here. Faith means that we will be men and women of faith as Abraham was. While he was promised the land of Canaan, that land between the river of Egypt and the river Euphrates, the land of the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and so forth, he never really set his affection on that land. His hope was in heaven. And likewise, the Christian's hope is in heaven because that's where our Savior is. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after his resurrection, And he told his disciples before that if I go away, I will come again to receive you and to take you where I am. Now that's what we are waiting for as Christians. We live on this earth about 70 years, and then we die. And that's the way it has been arranged, and that's something we accept. Our death is called in the Bible a sleep, because we'll be awakened. There's nothing bad about death. Some people say the worst thing that can happen to you is for you to be killed. No, there are worse things than that. Because we go to be with the Lord according to Philippians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians 5. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we go to our Savior at our death. There'll be a resurrection someday, and our bodies will be raised, and we'll be with Him forever and ever. Now, I hope you won't be deceived by persons who tell you that God wants you to prosper materially down here. I have heard people say, God does not want His children to be poor. And all I can respond to that is, tell it to the apostles. They were all poor. They expected no material blessings here, nor did they get any. Paul went about preaching the gospel at his own expense, and he suffered terribly. He endured all kinds of hardships for the sake of the gospel. Paul really never expected anything from God. He had everything that God wanted him to have, and he was willing to die for Jesus Christ. So he went into great danger with the gospel. He wanted to reach people for Jesus Christ with the good news message. It was a good news of grace. After all, the Son of God had given His life so that men might be saved. And Paul wanted to make sure they heard about this good news. Now be careful about people who promise physical blessings or material prosperity down here on the earth. They preach what we call a prosperity gospel, and that prosperity theology has a strong appeal to people who are weak in faith and who haven't studied the life of Paul. So many people have become Christians with the promise that they'll have more friends, they'll be happier, that God will bless them materially, they'll do better in their jobs, they'll be blessed in their homes. But that's not necessarily the case. When you become a Christian, you often incur more wrath from people. There's often division in the family. Sometimes you might lose your job because you are a Christian. God has not promised you material blessings because you have believed in His Son. The blessings of the Christian are above. Ephesians 1:3 tells it pretty straight. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you believed in Jesus Christ, you got everything. God has blessed you. Rejoice and thank God for it. If you enjoy verse-by-verse Bible teaching, you will enjoy our Sunday morning Bible class in Baton Rouge. That class meets at 9:15 each Sunday morning, and it's free. Until next week, this is Nick Calipota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.